We have our next speaker is Laura Bellows from Colorado State University, and the title of her presentation is Target Audience Input and Integration of Social Marketing Elements in the Design of Physical Activity Programs for Preschoolers. Laura.
Thank you, and it's nice to be here this morning. I'm not going to repeat the title because it is very long, but I do want to first acknowledge my co-authors from Colorado State University. This project that I'm going to talk about today was a multidisciplinary project through the Departments of Food Science and Human Nutrition, Occupational Therapy, and Health and Exercise Science. So I have no relationships to disclose. But I want to first start to give you a little background, because today what I'm going to be talking about is the target audience input, but this is coming after the project has been completed and our data is all in. Food Friends, which is the nutrition component, which has been aimed at increasing willingness to try new foods for this 3 to 5 year olds, primarily started in Head Start. The program's been going on since 2000. We have quite a few papers out on that. But in 2004, CDC and one of their RFPs came out and said there is a lack of research-based programming addressing childhood overweight in the child care setting. So we had a very successful nutrition program that we decided to put in a grant to try to complement that with a physical activity program. So from Food Friends came our Food Friends Get Moving with Mighty Moves, and you can see our food characters now have superhero outfits on. And this is all, and we'll talk about this in the presentation, how we got to this point, but this is our final graphic and our final concept that when I say target audience, you can imagine the challenges of your target audience being 3, 4, and 5 year olds and gathering all the information as to how to best address their needs. So we also looked at their secondary influencers, which are teachers as well as parents. So I'm going to start a little backwards and tell you what the final product was. We developed an 18-week program that emphasized gross motor performance, physical activity, and fitness. And each of those Food Friends character had a mighty move or a gross motor skill, as well as a superpower. We really emphasized the gross motor development, and we did see significant changes in our randomized controlled trial that the program did enhance stability, locomotor, and object manipulation skills, as well as fitness, but we did not see changes in physical activity. And basically what the kids do is they go on imaginary trips to the town of Healthadelphia, which is where the Food Friends now live and reside. We developed custom musical CD. Teachers had told us that that was one of the most important parts of any physical activity program in the preschool environment. And we have a caping ceremony, and this is a little girl who's been caped. And halfway through the program, after they have demonstrated their mighty moves, they get a little scarf and a cape and a certificate that says they are now mighty movers, and they now have their superpowers to help the people of Healthadelphia. As I mentioned, we did see significant changes in this, but what I'm going to talk about today is how did we get to this, because I think it's very important to understand that the role the target audience has in driving program development, and I truly believe that we had significant program outcomes because the audiences gave a lot of input into it. So for those of you who may not be familiar with social marketing, I think when I first came into social marketing, I said, well, it's a lot like what we do in public health already, but the emphasis is really on target audience input and them driving the decision-making, them driving the messages in an effort to make those behavior changes. And so the marketing framework becomes very important, and I'll talk about the 4 P's, which are product, placement, price, and promotion, as well as consumer orientation. How do you know, how do you become in tune enough with the target audience to know how they're making decisions, what's their barriers, what are their needs, their wants, and their desires, and then balancing that with the research side of things. The exchange theory, it's the cost-benefit. So how do we decrease the cost and increase the benefit so that they're going to be driven to make those changes, making sure we're segmenting the audience and not trying to reach too many, as well as the competition. And in any school type environment, including early childhood, they have a lot of competition with academics and other programming. And we did this in the Head Start environment, and some of our half day programs, the competition is time. They don't have a lot of time. And then when you try to apply the NASPE physical activity guidelines for 60 minutes a day of structured physical activity, you start to see the challenges. So our program contributed to those guidelines, but certainly could not fulfill all of those. So these are the steps of social marketing, and what this talk will talk about is primarily strategy for formation and program development. But it's an iterative process, and the way I'm going to present it, I want you to understand that a lot of things were happening at once so that we didn't just do step one and two, but they were more synergistic in how we went about that. So as background, we did do formative research. We did key informant interviews with Head Start and preschool teachers who were already participating in the Food Friends Nutrition Program. And then we did seven focus groups, bilingual, with parents as well. And with strategy development, we took the input from formative evaluation. We worked with a marketing firm in Longmont, Colorado, to develop our initial strategies, which is where you're starting, as you saw in the graphic, the superpowers and so forth. We did a lot of graphic pretesting with preschoolers. They have no barrier. They tell you things that you had never thought they were going to tell you, so we kept coming back and doing some more testing. We did group discussions with teachers after we had developed our initial strategy and then had more pretesting again with the lessons and the concepts with teachers as well. So when we look at the marketing mix, and this is a table that looks at the first two P's are product and place on the left side, and then it, on the top it shows the strategy that the step of social marketing that we used. So initial planning for product, we had that we were going to try to decrease that upward trajectory of weight gain in preschoolers. And when you have any federal grant, you need to say that you're going to do this big long-term decrease BMI. But what we're really looking at is, can we enhance physical activity, gross motor performance, and fitness in these kids? As we went through formative research and strategy development, these were goals that Head Start staff and parents felt very in tuned with, they agreed with. Place was very easy, that we started with Head Start simply because that's where we had started our research with Food Friends, and they provided a more structured and consistent environment than different preschools at the time. So we tried to control it to just Head Start centers initially. When we look at price, out of our formative research, we had some discomfort. The fear was that the price for some kids would be that they were shy if they were already overweight. They may not want to participate in the programming. From teachers, we heard time. We're not going to have time to implement this programming. Space is an issue with small spaces in the childcare environment, as well as equipment. In the group discussions that we did, we talked more about that. And what does this mean? Basically, in Food Friends, we give them a Rubbermaid bin that has their puppets, their storybooks, their games, their puzzles, and so forth, and they wanted the exact same thing for Mighty Moves. Give us everything we need, give us and tell us exactly what we need to do. Lessons are outlined, they're tied to the Head Start Child Outcome Framework. Here are the materials, here's the balls, here's the air pump to blow the balls up. Everything they could possibly need was required, and every activity was designed so that space was a consideration as well. For promotion, and I'm just going to give you a couple of examples, but I think for promotion, this is really where the teachers had such great input. From our formative research, we heard superheroes. That's what's going to attract these kids, get them engaged, get them excited. But what came out in a group discussion was, well, the superheroes is great. Kids are going to love it. Parents like it. But can we do something more than just emphasize the physical attributes that superheroes portray? Can we teach kids that superheroes are kind, they're empathetic, they're cooperative, and can we try to build in character building within the program so that it's not just about muscles and physical attributes? So that came out in some of the group discussions. And then what further enhanced this was some more discussions and graphic testing is, well, can we situate them in a community so that when you're talking about the fire truck or the policeman and other occupations within a community, that they are then helping those folks in their own community. So that's where the concept of Healthadelphia came, simply from the target audience input, and then our marketing company put the name Healthadelphia on it as a nice niche to that. Utilizing the Food Friends characters, again, you can see how we had some conversations in group discussion and further went on to delineate that we needed to show the activities with the characters and not just characters dressed as superheroes. Parents were especially concerned about children's imaginations and use of dramatic play. They really wanted to see more of that and not have such structured activity that you couldn't allow kids to explore their environments and so forth. And that's really where we came up with the musical journeys and taking trips throughout Healthadelphia and using their motor skills. So I'm going to talk to switch gears a little bit. At the time we were developing the strategy, you can imagine we're also testing graphics. And so we did this in 4 Head Start centers. We had a group graphic, individual characters simply dressed as superheroes, and then each one with a mighty move. And I'm going to go through some of the rounds of testing to show you the very simple differences that we had to make, but yet they made a huge difference. So these are our initial characters that right off the press from our marketing company, and we presented the kids with, they were printed off on a flashcard and presented them each individually to the child. And what I'm going to show you next is we were looking at gender differences. And so we asked the kids, here are the 8 characters, pick up your favorite character. And we ranked them based on what appealed most to the kids and looked at gender to make sure that our concern was we didn't want boys to really like one character and girls not to like another character. You can notice that the colors of our characters are primary colors. There's no pink. There's no any of that. So we didn't see significant differences by gender, which we were very happy about, and we moved forward. So these are our first round of putting the characters doing activities. What we found out from this is kids cannot, they're very concrete thinkers. We were working with low-income audiences. We did not want to emphasize physical activity equipment. However, kids could not come up with the activities unless there was equipment with them. So you can see Corinne Kara is actually hula hooping, but they couldn't use the word hula hoop. They would just sit there and move their hips. Gertie Gouda on the bottom, the red hunk of cheese, she was giving herself a hug because teachers wanted us to show self-love and appreciation. Kids couldn't identify that. They would just hug themselves, but they couldn't speak to that. We added a new character, which is Bella Bean, which was supposed to be a kidney bean, but they kept coming out saying she was a dancing sausage. And then Ollie Orange was supposed to be tumbling, but the kids were concerned that he was hurt his head because of his helmet if he were tumbling. So we went back to the drawing board. This is round 2. We added some notes to Bella Bean. Still, the dancing sausage was coming more apparent in 2. And Ollie Orange is missing his shorts. That got told to us pretty quickly from a child of why is he naked? He needs his shorts back on. We went with a new graphic for Gertie Gouda tumbling because kids in round 1, we asked them what other activities are they engaged in, and they like to say gymnastics. And when we handed them the card, they kept flipping it, trying to turn her over, but couldn't get that concept with that. So we went back to the drawing board again. And this time we said, okay, we're going to go with 3 different Gertie Goudas to see what they can get. We tried soccer, walking, and what we thought was balancing on a balance beam, but apparently the kids told me that, no, they did say skateboard, but the kicker was, yeah, my mom doesn't really like when I get up on the table. So we decided that that wasn't where we were going to go with that. They could identify soccer, but they really could identify walking, and because it had no equipment with it, we went with that one. You can see that Bella Bean, and we tested the name Bella versus Bonnie. She's a little, she's a cross between a kidney bean and a black bean, but they could identify her. Ollie has his shorts back on, and we tested some different activities just to see. In Colorado, we have a high Hispanic population, so we wanted to see if there was a difference between soccer, baseball, or basketball as to what the kids were in tune with. These are the final graphics, the couple of slight modifications that teachers pointed out. Ollie Orange now has elbow pads because of safety concerns, so that was something that we would have never caught, but teachers caught. So each of them have their own mighty move, as well as the superpower. So for an example, Howie Hamburger, who is all about biking and the outdoors, he loves the playground, he can transform himself. So he can use his lettuce as a parachute, his tomato as a surfboard, or he can paddle on his bun to get around Healthadelphia. So those are the concepts that we have built into the 18-week program. And each of these characters really emphasizes a mighty move or gross motor skill. So when we bring it back to the social marketing framework, the marketing mix really does address the behaviors, attitudes, and values of the target audience, and making sure that this is something that would fit within their belief system and in the classroom. Activities and materials were aimed at decreasing competition. We tied school readiness skills through the Head Start Child Outcome Framework to make sure that we emphasize the counting, the alphabet, color recognition, shape recognition, so that it wasn't always competing with academic time. The cost benefits, which is through the exchange theory, we made sure that we address time, space, and equipment by providing them equipment, making the activities to be able to do in small spaces. We provided poly spots, which are rubber mats, kind of the equivalent of carpet mats, so that the kids weren't poking each other, so that teachers felt comfortable doing activities in small spaces. And then really, we're with the graphics and the program concepts, making sure that they resonated with the target audience with that. And just one last slide. This, I think, was one of my favorite quotes when we first initiated the program, and I think it sums up very nicely that they noticed that we took their considerations into the program because they felt like they were a part of it, and I think that really helped with our outcomes.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Great. Again.